You enjoy that, say amen. That's exactly what Jesus did. He gave His life for mine. And He gave His life for yours, amen. I think sometimes we take that for granted. I know I do. I know I'm not as thankful for what God done for me. And every now and then I hear something like that and it reminds you, amen, just what God did. We'd be a happier lot if we was in constant memory of what God did for us at Calvary, amen, that He gave His life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, amen. What a blessing. John chapter number 4 tonight. John chapter number 4. I hope you're familiar with the story, and you probably are. But I'm gonna read it. I think I'm gonna read it all anyway. Sometimes we get in such a hurry to get to our great message that we feel the Lord's led us that we leave off the scripture. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes I'll get to preaching and forget I ain't read the Bible yet. Amen. So we're gonna read the Bible a little bit tonight. How many of you know the story? Are you really, really familiar with the story of the woman at the well? The woman at the well. I want to show you some lessons on visitation tonight. The Lord began to show me this week. We've been planning for several weeks and building up to it. The day after, the Saturday after our Ladies' Day, which will be the 16th. 19th, I knew it was a 10th, I wasn't sure which one. The 19th, the Saturday week, 10 o'clock, we're really going to push for our visitation. Now, this morning I said it was a blessing that we had 58 people here for our work day yesterday. And we're thankful for that. But did you know visitation, that's a work day too. It is, it really is. That's a work day too. When we work on the building, that's a physical work day. But when we go out and knock on doors, that's physical labor too, but it's also spiritual labor. Yeah. Amen? I said this morning it'd be a blessing if we had 58 people show up Saturday week for our visitation day. Amen? Yeah. And some people have different motives when they go out on visitation, and we'll read the story in a minute, but I know some churches, they'll only target certain areas. They do studies now about churches that are going to start a new church, and they study the demographics. Now, I'm not being cruel or mean, but I'm not sure if it was the First Baptist Church of Atlanta or Charles Stanley's son's church. What's his name? Andy Stanley. One of those two churches. I'm not sure which one it was, but it was one of those churches that helped to birth the Mirror Lake Church. Got quiet, but that they helped to start that church. Now, before they start a church, they do what they call a demographic study. Why did they put that church there? I'm not saying there shouldn't be a church there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you how they go about ministry.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
That's the wealthiest neighborhood in this area.
So
it sounds to me like they're not interested in the crack.
Yeah.
They're not interested in the projects. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just going to give you some stuff I felt like the Lord gave me. I'm not trying to be, but that's what they do. They pay companies thousands of dollars to do this demographic study and show us where the best place to birth a new ministry is. But they look at it in the wrong terms. They look at it in terms of means and money and influence instead of souls. I'd love to see everybody in Mirror Lake in church right here on Sunday morning. Wouldn't bother me one bit. I'm not against those people. Thank God for them. I wish the Lord would send us people with means and money. Hey, I really do. It takes money to run a ministry. I'm not a money-grubbing preacher. I'm not a Reverend Eddie Long. Amen. Do you know they said that crook is allotted every Sunday night? They put buckets on the, like wash tubs on the platform, and every Sunday night people come and they throw money in that, and out of that money every year, outside of his salary, he is allotted $1 million out of that every year. I'm not a money grubber like that. I'm serious. I'm not. I mean, if you want me to prove it, bring me $1 million. I'll show you. Amen. We'll pay this church off about that fast. Amen. 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 I'm not against the rich coming to church. I wish more would. But I am against targeting only a certain group of people. Amen. Jesus died for all. All men, women, boys, and girls. Amen. And we're going to look at this just for a minute and think about our thought process as we go and visit people. Look at John chapter number 4, and I don't know where to start. Let's see, let's just start at verse number 1. The Bible said, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria." I'll fill you in on this after we read. The Bible said in verse number 5, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well is there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" Underline that phrase right there. "How be it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" He said, "For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Amen. Verse number 10, the Bible said, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him," or saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." I like that. That's the right response to the Lord. Amen? Amen. He told her about living water, and her response was, "Sir, give me the water." Amen. In verse number 16, Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." And the woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Then he said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And the woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." And Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" And then the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And I'll stop reading right there. Let me make a couple of statements about this lady and about this story. Now, Jesus said, and I think maybe it's verse number 4, somewhere around in there, the Lord said that he must needs go through Samaria. There is a reason for me to go through this land. And the lady did not know that she would meet the Savior sitting on the well. But the Savior knew that the lady would come to the well. I believe that was what we would call a divine appointment. Amen. How many of you believe you've had some divine appointments in your life? I'm talking about a place and a time that God had you intervene or interact with an individual or a sermon or something. It was a divine appointment. God orchestrated it. God set it up like pieces on a checkerboard or a chessboard, and God had you at a certain place at a certain time to meet a certain person to hear a certain thing, a divine appointment. I believe for this lady, this was a divine appointment. Amen. Now, a little bit about this lady. She was what we would call an outcast. Yes, sir. Come on. She was undesirable. She was a loose living woman. Yeah. To put it lightly, in that day, in today's time, she'd be probably about normal. But in that day, that wasn't normal. She had had 5 husbands, and the man she was living with wasn't her husband. She was shacked up. Okay to use that terminology, shacked up. Amen. Y'all know what that means? It means living together and not being married. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I still don't believe that's right. Yeah. If you are, we love you. But you ought to pray about getting married. Amen. Yeah. Making a commitment to that one that you're living with. Yes, sir. Amen. Y'all help me tonight. Now don't get sideways with me. Amen. Amen. Now this was her situation. Jesus went there and waited on her to come. She wasn't waiting on Jesus at the well. Jesus was waiting on her at the well. Can I just say to you, I'm glad he's still waiting on old lost sinners tonight to come by the well for a drink of living water. Amen. I'm glad he's still here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm glad the altars are always open and Jesus is saying, come, if any man thirst, let him drink. Amen. He's still waiting at the well tonight. Now, this lady wasn't our desirable, not our, that wouldn't be our desired demographic, if you will. Yeah. Samaria. That wouldn't be where we'd go out. Oh, we got to build our church, and we want to get some new people in here, and we want to see some people saved. Where are we going to go? Somebody said, I got a good idea. Let's go to Samaria. No, man, don't go down there. Amen. Don't go down there. I mentioned to a pastor the other day, me and Brother Jason, we've been talking about this. I don't know when he'll be ready or if he'll ever be ready. I believe he will, to start a reformers group or a recovery ministry around here. Did you know that judges order people to go to some type of recovery ministry? Wouldn't that be cool if we had the judge ordering them to come here? Not for Sunday morning service, but for Friday night. Yeah. With an ex-addict who can point them to Calvary where they can get some help. Amen. And I was telling a preacher about this, and he said, well, you know what kind of people you're going to draw. Amen. That's our mindset. Yeah. That's our, yeah, wave at me, Eric. Help me, son. Yeah. Amen. He's here because of a recovery program. Yeah. That's our mindset. Well, if we do that, aren't we going to have, would they be drug addicts? Just like the ones you sitting in the pew with. Amen. And such were some of you. We've got Jason said worse. I mean, you name it, we've got everything from crackheads to prescription drug addicts sitting in here tonight. I'm talking about recovered. Amen. I'm talking about delivered by the hand of God. Yes, they'd have said, no, Samaria, that's not your ideal place to go. They some pretty lowlifes down there. That religious crowd always had a problem with Jesus hanging out with sinners. They said, ah, look at him. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. Ain't you glad? Yes, amen. Aren't you glad? He said, I call you not disciples, but friends. Jesus considered himself friends of the lowly, of the downtrodden, of the needy, of the broke, of the maimed, the halt, the blind, and the crippled. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen. Now, society would say, don't, let's not really push that Carrollton bus route. Isn't it odd? It's got more coming on it. And I'm not pushing any of it. Our bus workers are awesome. We need to remember what God called us to. We will never be the church for the upper crust. Not as long as I'm your pastor. We never will be. I used to worry about that, and I used to complain to God. God, why do you send them all those people with the money? God, why? That isn't who He called me to. He called me to preach to middle class America. And on a lot of cases, lower class America. That's my crowd, amen? We're not so uptight. We're not uptight enough for the majority of that crowd. God may send an occasional person with means in here, but that's not going to be the majority. Y'all okay? It never will be. We're too laid back. We're not proper enough. The world would say, don't go after that crowd. All they do is cause trouble. We okay? I want to point out just a couple of things about this story. Number one, let me just say, Jesus went after a woman that nobody else wanted. They say, and I'm not sure it's altogether true, but I've heard it preached all my life. If it ain't true, it still makes for good preaching. Amen? They say she came at noon in the middle of the day to draw. Well, we know that for a fact. They say she came in the middle of the day because she wasn't welcome to come when the other ladies came in the morning and in the evening. Now, I don't know if that's 100% positive. Probably is. Didn't nobody want to associate with her? She was an undesirable. Are we listening?
Yes, sir.
Jesus went there to wait.
Yeah. Amen.
What was he waiting on? An undesirable woman.
Yeah.
Amen.
What was he waiting on when he found you?
Yeah. Amen.
I'm serious, just give it some thought tonight.
Amen.
I want you to understand something when we go out into this world. He said, go ye into all the world.
Yeah,
preach the gospel to every creature.
Yeah.
I want you to note a few things tonight and get them down real good. Some of you may have a problem with. And I'm going to say this as kind and loving as I know how. If you have a problem with some of these statements, you may be in the wrong place.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to leave, but this may not be the church for you.
Yeah, come on, preach.
Number one, here it is. I can't preach this everywhere in this county.
Amen.
I sure can't preach this everywhere in the county where I grew up. Number one, the love of God knows no racial boundaries.
Amen.
Jot that down somewhere. The love of God knows no racial boundaries.
Yeah.
The first thing out of the lady's mouth was, why are you talking to me? Let's carry you back about 40, 50 years. I'll show you what it would be equal to. It would be about like a respected white man talking in the middle of the town with a loose living black woman 50 years ago. Are we okay? We're in the South here, brother. That's where all the racial problems are.
Yeah.
Are you listening? It's not as bad as it used to be.
Yeah.
I said the love of God knows no racial boundaries.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what color is behind the door we walk on.
Amen.
As long as they understand our language, we'll share the Lord with them and we'll tell them about the Lord and we will welcome them to sit in our worship.
Amen.
Amen. You can sell that rebel flag flying stuff down the road somewhere.
Amen, bro.
One of the first little things I learned when I was a kid growing up in church was red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Y'all okay?
Yeah.
If you are racist, I hope when you get to heaven, I hope God puts you in the hood. I'm just kidding. There ain't going to be no hood when we get there. We all right tonight? Man, he wasn't even supposed to talk to her. She was of the wrong race. She was of the wrong sect.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Yes, sir. Amen. Hey, I think some of these kids we bring in here on Sunday, I think they'll make it if we give them a chance. We bathe their lives in prayer. What if we go out and win mom and daddy to God? What if we go out and see mom and daddy get saved? Hey, you want to know why the Latour girls are such precious young ladies in our church? They're three young black sisters who work on a bus route. You know what makes them so precious? Their mom and daddy's saved. They're not like the average bus kids that come. They don't live in a handful of hell all week and then just get to come here once a week. Their family are, they're Haitian. They're from, where is Haitia? Haitian. Haiti, yeah. I'm working on it. Where's Haitia? Amen. They're from Haitia over there. Amen. No, they're from Haiti. And their father is a Haitian pastor. And he preaches in Haitian. These little girls grew up English. So they started coming to our church when they were little.
Yes, sir.
But these girls have got character.
Yeah, they do.
It's because they grew up in a Christian home.
I'm
telling you, that saved mom and daddy makes a difference. What if we go to some of these little kids that don't know how to act in the house of God? What if we go to their mom and dad and lead their mom and dad to Christ?
Yeah.
I remember one lady got mad. Let me be careful. I'm looking to see who's here and who ain't. I don't care. I remember one lady got mad when we started trying to reach the Spanish, Brother Daniel. And this was a statement she made, not to me. But she said, next thing you know, it's going to be a Mexican church. Let me lay something on you. It's not a white church. It's not a black church. It's not a yellow church. It's not a brown church. It's a saved church. We all right? Amen. I said the love of God knows no racial boundaries. Jesus died for all men. One preacher told me right here in town. He said, why y'all run them buses over here in our neighborhood and pick up all our kids? I said, because you don't. Amen. Because you don't. If you don't go get them, we will. We don't have a hidden agenda here. Y'all need to get out of the Bible Belt. We're on the buckle of the Bible Belt right here. Y'all need to get out of here and see there's a whole other world out there. We all right tonight?
Yeah.
Amen. I don't care if they're Oriental, Latina,
yeah.
African.
Amen.
I don't care what they are.
Even Alabama, brother.
That's right, Brother Gary. Even. Amen, brother. Even Alabama. We'll the love of God. That's proof. Knows no racial boundaries. Let me tell you something. Somewhere in early American history, somebody put it in our mindsets that we are a better class of people. Don't let me bust your bubble. We're all dirty, rotten sinners who ought to be in hell. We okay? We are. If you're on your way to heaven, you're just a dirty, rotten sinner saved by grace. We okay? We're not racist in this church. Somebody may have got upset the other night when I was talking about Obama. Had nothing to do what color he is. I don't care if he's purple with pink polka dots. It ain't about race. It's about the way our country's being run. Y'all all right? We're not racist. The love of God knows no racial boundaries.
Amen.
Did you know that word? Brother Charles just said the word, hallelujah. Do you know that's the same in every language? I've always heard that. It's the same in every language, every country. Hallelujah. Amen. That ought to show you, man, God loves all people of all races. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how we would send a man, pay money out of our pockets to send a man to the mission field to lead Africans to Christ, but you don't want them sitting next to you?
Yeah, go ahead, preacher.
Yes, sir.
How about that?
Yes, sir.
We send money to South America and Mexico so a missionary can lead Mexicans to the Lord, but God forbid they come in here. You get that mindset right, amen? Junk that prejudice stuff and realize Jesus died for these people and God has called us to carry the gospel to the world.
Amen.
I told you, some of you may have a problem with some of these statements. Y'all okay? I'm just saying, when we go out visiting, we're not looking for a certain sect. We're just looking for that one who needs Christ.
Yes, sir.
We're just looking for that one who's on their way to hell. We're looking for that one who's sitting there at their kitchen table and says, man, we was just praying God would send somebody here. We got some Bible questions. You ever made that kind of visit? It'll blow your mind.
Yes, sir.
God's already working behind the scenes preparing somebody for you to talk to. I don't know how many times we've heard, we were just talking about that. We need to be in church somewhere.
Amen.
Are you listening? God said, I forgot who it was. Me and Jason, I believe, was together that last time we went out at night. And we talked to a couple, and they were in another church working in a children's ministry. And we just stood there and encouraged one another in the Lord. I believe it's a divine appointment. Amen. Sometimes it's good to see there's somebody else out there doing something for God besides you. Amen.
Amen.
The love of God knows no racial boundaries. You remember that. Scripture and verse, please. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 11. He said, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
Amen. It doesn't matter who they are. Tell them about the Lord.
Tell
them about the Lord. Let them know they're welcome here.
Yes,
how many times have you ever heard the statement, well, if I walked in your church, the roof would fall in?
Yeah.
Nah, ain't no chance of that around here.
Nope.
This is the strongest roof in town.
Amen.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
See, sometimes it's not just a racial boundary, it's a class boundary. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't be welcome in that church. I have a tattoo. Bring it on. Join the club.
Yeah.
We don't think you ought to mar your body. Mark your body. Once it's done, it's done.
Yeah.
And you know what we're going to do? We're going to love you.
That's right.
Amen. We don't care if a guy comes in long hair, earrings in his ear. We're going to love him.
Yeah.
Y'all all right?
Yeah.
I had a hairly at some churches. I got some men that I preach for that would be going, amen. I don't just want them to come, I'll go after them.
Yes.
Amen.
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 I don't care what class they are.
Amen.
Rich, poor. I know some preachers suck up to the rich people.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what happens, and I just heard about this happening in a church. Somebody with a whole lot of money left the church. Now the church is hurting real bad. That's bad when your whole church is depending on one dude with deep pockets. Amen. Our church is dependent on a whole bunch of people with shallow pockets. Amen. Amen. Our church is full of a whole bunch of people. When they write their tithe check, they pray it don't bounce. God, just let anything bounce but my tithe. Don't let the check to the church bounce. Amen. It doesn't matter whatever class. Hey, if we go out and visit Brother Clint and Miss Donna's bus route, whatever neighborhoods we're in, that's where we're in.
Yeah, yeah.
If we go out with the Latour girls and visit their bus route in Carrollton, whatever neighborhood we're in, that's where we are and that's who we're going after.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, yeah.
If we're in Terry and Stacy's, it don't matter. They're all the same. They're people.
Yeah.
Amen? The love of God, I said, knows no racial boundaries. Number two, the provision of God knows no human limited, excuse me. Sorry about that, I got choked. The provision of God knows no human limitations.
Yeah.
I said, number one, Number one, the love of God knows no racial barriers. Number two, the provision of God knows no human limitation. What are you saying? I'm saying with God, all things are possible. She said, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." In other words, she didn't see a possibility of getting something here. You ain't got no way to get it out. What she didn't understand, he was it. Amen. With God, all things are possible. Society would have said, God don't love her. God can't save her. Wait a minute. Jesus said, I am God, and I'm sitting here waiting on her, and I came by to give her water that's springing up into her, a well of everlasting water. Are you listening to me tonight? With God, all things are possible. Somebody said, you wasting your time going after so-and-so. They ain't never going to come to church. You did. I did. There was a time when half of Paulding County would have said, you waste your time fooling with Warren English. I'm glad there's a wife that didn't give up. Pray for my husband. Pray for my husband. What are you saying? I'm saying with God all things are possible. There's probably people walking our church right now and come in here next Sunday morning, look down there and go, is that Jason Crow? No way. He's a crackhead. What's he doing in church? I'm serious. And such were some of you. God knows no human limitation. His provision knows no human limitation. He can do exceedingly and abundantly over what we can even ask or think. He can take one of those kids, the roughest one off that Carrollton route, and make a pastor out of him. You listening? He can do it. Yes, Stacy's pointing at me. He's done it before. Amen. He can do it again. Amen. Sometimes as a bus captain, I know I've been there. I'm not preaching to you, telling you what to do, and I've never done it. I've been there. Sometimes it gets discouraging. Brother Charles and that cell phone. It was him again, Janice. You have to do something. I forgot what I was saying. Yeah, I've been there. That's right. Been there. Sometimes you get discouraging. You knock on doors. Summertime comes.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you like it or not, bus ministry is seasonal. Just because your numbers are low don't mean God's done. Right. Amen. School will start back. And they'll be bored to death and they ain't got nothing better to do on Sunday, so they'll come back to church. Y'all okay? You say, "Oh, it shouldn't be that way." I know it. That's the way it is. And we get to preach the gospel to them. Amen. And somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to grow. Somebody's going to make it. I got news for you. We lose a lot of these bus kids in their teenage years. We lose a lot of them in their teenage years. It ain't because God wasn't real to them. It's because we've got them 2 hours a week and the hood's got them the rest of the week, 6 days a week. Amen? It's what we're sending them back to. Here's what I'm just trying to tell you tonight. His love knows no racial boundaries. His provision knows no human limitation. He can do it. He can do it. Now watch this. He can also use you to get it done. Let me say it again. He can use you to get it done. Have you ever sat in awe of a sermon or seeing somebody's Christian life, watching Brother Charles die or hearing Brother Freddie teach the Bible to Brother Warren, and you sit back and you go, boy, I could never do anything like that. Anybody ever made that statement? Well, I'm glad I'm saved, but I don't think I could ever do anything like that. Ain't no telling how many times I said that. I'm saying God can use you to do it. God can use you to do the impossible. People used to come from around Paulding County to our church to see me preach, just to see if it was really real or not. It's unbelievable. What are you saying? I'm saying with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Don't doubt what God can do.
Amen.
Don't doubt what God can do.
Brother.
Listen, I'm excited. Brother Freddie's excited. Brother Robin, Brother Warren, we're excited. Our bus workers are excited.
Amen.
What better way to reach our community than through that ministry right there?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And God's going to use you to do it.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you allow God to get glory out of your life? I promise you, if you will make yourself do it, I got a couple more thoughts and we'll be done. I promise you, if you'll push yourself and make yourself do it, the first one of those houses you go to and invite a kid and some parents to church, the first one of them you see come to church and get saved.
Yeah. Amen.
It'll light your fire, friend.
That's right.
Amen. You'll say, wow, I invited them.
Yeah.
Amen. You may not have led them to Christ, but you invited them to come. So Brother Thomas or Brother Greg or Brother Jerry or whoever, Brother Allen, somebody could open the Bible and preach the Word of God to them, and they got saved. You were the Andrew in their life.
Amen.
Andrew went and got Peter and said, you got to come check him out. Andrew never did much else. But Peter preached at Pentecost and 3,000 got saved. Andrew was the go-getter. Man, wouldn't it be a blessing God just used you to be a go-getter?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen,
I said His love knows no racial barriers. His provision knows no human limitations. Let me hurry. Number three, the vision of God knows no undiscovered secrets. The vision of God knows no undiscovered secrets. Listen, this lady, the Lord said to this lady, go call thy husband and come here. It was a loaded question. You know what he wanted?
Amen.
He wanted to see if she'd be honest.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
I mean, brother, it's rubber meets the road time.
Yes, sir.
It's leaving with water or without water.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's leaving saved or lost. This next answer depended on which way she left. Y'all look at me like you disagree.
Yeah.
He said, go call thy husband. And she said, in the very next verse, I have no husband. And Jesus saith unto her, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I'm looking for honesty about your situation and where you are. Jesus did not even wait for her to tell him her situation. He told her. That was one way he revealed himself unto her and convinced her that he was something more than a man sitting on a well in the middle of the day wanting a drink of water. He said, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not that husband, not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. And the woman saith unto him, I perceive that thou art a prophet. What are you saying, preacher? Here's what I'm saying. There's no secret God doesn't know. He knows every door we'll go to. He knows every person you'll come in contact with. And here's the thing. Here's the thing, self-righteousness. He knows their condition before you get there.
Yeah. Amen, preacher.
We were on a youth trip years ago. There was a preacher friend of mine on the trip with us, and I wouldn't say anything to disrespect him and for nothing. But we took some kids to Pigeon Forge, and we went to that show, the Dixie Stampede. And before you go in for the show, it looks like an old cowboy saloon, and they serve you hot apple cider and all that, and they got dance hall girls in there. And there's one of them dance hall girls, and she was probably highly qualified for the job, I guess you'd say, but she's going around trying to sell them things on her leg, the garters, and she tried to sell him one. And the things he said to that poor woman, I'll never forget as long as I live. Big tear run down her face, and she turned and ran away. these people may not need you to point out. Did you know a crackhead knows it's wrong to smoke crack?
Yes.
Did you notice in the scripture Jesus did not rebuke her?
Yeah. Come on, preacher. Amen. Good.
He didn't say, well, you dirty, rotten, wicked. A lot of preachers I know would call her the W word.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, it had come right out of their mouth. She wasn't nothing but a filthy, stinking blank. Right?
Yeah.
Y'all okay? You think she needed that pointed out?
No, sir.
I don't think she was holding her head up high when she said, I have no husband. I think she dropped her head.
Yeah.
In shame. You get them here, we'll preach to them.
Yes, sir.
And we'll preach the truth to them. But we don't need you judging them on their doorstep.
Amen.
God already knows all about them.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? He already knows their situation. He knows whether or not the man and woman are married.
Yeah.
He knows whether or not the man's caught up in adultery. He knows their lifestyle. He knows all about them.
Yeah, amen.
But yet still, somehow, he providentially sent you to them.
Yeah. Amen.
Must mean he cared for them.
Yes.
Must mean he cared for them. The vision of God knows no undiscovered secrets. By the way, he knows yours too. He knows yours too. You've got them hid a little better. Amen. How'd you like somebody come by your house where you live? Why are you saying this, preacher? I've seen it done.
Yes.
Amen.
Sir, you get rid of that can of beer, God might save you. Scripture and verse, please.
Amen, brother.
I've seen it done. How would you like if somebody came to your house on your doorstep, on your property, and started telling you how sorry and no good you are? I'm not talking about sharing the scripture with them.
Amen, brother.
Y'all know me better than that. I'm not talking about sharing the scripture with them. I'm not talking about for all have sinned come short of the glory of God. I'm not talking about there's none righteous, no, not one. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about the judgmental stuff.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
we okay? He already knows.
Amen.
He already knows.
Yes, sir.
He knew what he was getting when he got you, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. He knew exactly what he was getting. You wasn't fooling him.
Amen.
You wasn't fooling him.
No, sir.
He knew exactly what you were.
Right.
But he saved you anyway.
Amen.
And he knows exactly what they are, and they'll save them anyway.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that amazing? Always amazes me how Brother Freddie's testimony, I love to hear him talk about it and tell it. Sometimes when he's preaching, he'll mention things about it. When he got saved, wasn't you going to a Pentecostal church? After he got saved, he was going to a Pentecostal church. He didn't have nobody lead him in the right direction. Brother, the Holy Spirit just took enough interest in him to lead him in the right way. He's in a rock band. I'm talking about parachute pants, man.
Amen.
Parachute pants. Seriously. Man, God knew what he was. God knew what I was.
Yes, sir.
And he knew what you were.
Yeah,
and he knows what they are.
Yeah,
amen. Amen.
And you know what he'll do? He'll save them right where they are.
Amen.
Jesus didn't say, well, see us, I tell you what. If you'll be down at the synagogue about 10 o'clock Sunday morning and listen to my class
on
holiness, if you'll come and listen to me teach on repentance, then set through a sermon and the altar call, you'll have a chance to respond, and then we'll let you counsel with somebody, and we might give you some of this water. She got it right there.
Yeah.
On the spot.
Amen, bro.
Right there. Hey, if you invite them to come, and that's all you can do, and they come, wonderful. But what if you could open the well for them right there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if you could just open that well for them right there? Brother Stacy did it to his daddy this morning. I heard him laying right here on this altar. He looked his daddy right in his God-given eyeball and said, Daddy, I got to know, are you truly saved?
Yeah. Amen,
you know what he did? He gave him an opportunity. He opened that well. Praise the Lord, his daddy said, yes.
Yes, brother.
Amen.
I know I'm saved. Amen. He opened that well to him. You can't get a drink if there's a lid on it. Sometimes we got to take the lid off. When I was a little boy, we had a well out in the backyard. Mama, where'd she go? Mama remembers that well. I got in more trouble over that well than you can shake a stick at. I mean, it had the little well house, and it had the windlass. Y'all know what a windlass is? Had a handle like that and a bucket, and you could let that thing down. That's some of the best water in all the world. But it always had a lid on it. And I wanted more than anything to wind that thing down and get me water. And every time I'd go near it, I got in trouble. Listen, when it comes to this well of living water, we're going to have to take the lid off and give somebody an opportunity to drink. Amen? And if they fall in this well, it won't hurt them. I understand why they didn't want me playing around that well, but if they fall in this well, they won't drown. Amen? They'll just bubble from now on. Hallelujah. So let's take the lid off the well and let them drink. Amen. God already knows who they are. And I promise you, if they'll accept Him, He'll give them that water anyway. He'll give them that water anyway. Listen, lastly, and I'm done. The power of God knows no insurmountable obstacles. The power of God. There is nothing that the power of God cannot overcome. We've got an impossible situation here. The disciples, they're scared to say anything. They're scared to say anything. But they didn't like it. He was talking to her. That's kind of like Jonah going down to Nineveh. He didn't like them people. Jew wasn't supposed to be talking to the people. The Lord's opening the door here and showing them the future. The Lord's saying, boys, here's what's coming.
Amen.
This thing's fixing to be free to all.
Amen, brother.
Amen. He was giving them an example. He was setting them up for things to come. This was an impossible situation. This lady lived in an impossible situation. Her life was an impossible situation. But with God, there is no impossible situation. He overcome the racial barrier. Did He do it? He overcame the racial barrier. He overcame the human limitations barrier. Amen. He overcame that with you too. He overcame the secrets in her life. He got past all that. So that's our problem. We can't get past that. I think sometimes we're not careful. We really look at people and think they don't deserve to be saved. But He got past all that. The power of God. I'm going to tell you how great the power of God is. She said, we know when Messiah comes, He's going to reveal all these things to us. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. She said, well, we're looking for this Messiah to come. He said, here I am. You're looking at Him. I think she's stunned, Brother Freddie. I think she believed Him because what He just told her about her life. The secrets about her life that He revealed, this perfect stranger. The fact that He was a Jew. Speaking to her. The Bible said she just dropped her water pot and took off running. The lady nobody wanted to talk to. There's something that brought out in the Scripture that I thought was pretty neat. The Bible said she went back and told the men. Did you ever caught that? She went back and told the men. What men? Those people she'd been living in sin with. She went back to the crowd she came from. Talk to me, Stacy. She went back to the crowd she ran with. She went back to the crowd that knew her past. And said, y'all ain't going to believe this. Come see a man. Told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She said, I found Him. They found, you know what the Bible said? They was glad. The Lord coming to her, sitting on that well that day, open the door to many. Said the Lord coming to her that day and waiting on her at the well. He knew exactly who to come to in that town. She was popular among a certain crowd. Are you listening? But many were affected. You never know what the power of God is doing when you bring one kid to church. Or an adult, for that matter. We're not just going after kids. We're going after anything that moves. Amen? You don't know. When I come to that trailer door, I believe it was 1970, wasn't it, Mom? 71. 1971. Early on a Saturday morning, Mama's in the bed. I'm watching cartoons in my Fruit of the Looms. I was just 4-year-old. I opened the door, and there stood that man with a handful of Bazooka Joe bubblegum. And he said, "I got a big old white bus I'd like to bring by here in the morning and take you to Sunday school if you'd like to come." Mama came down the hall about the time she said, he said, "Your mama can come too." You reckon it ever crossed his mind he was picking up his pastor? You don't know. You don't know who you're reaching.
Amen. That's good. That's right.
You have no idea. I didn't give any evidence of it. I don't really think I was, but they say I was the meanest kid in the church. I was always into something, always in trouble. I don't think anybody sat around and said, "Boy, God's going to use him." Yeah. Stacy said he never thought it.
Yeah.
I grew up with Vanessa. Did you ever think it? Did you ever just thought, "Wow, I can just see the hand of God"? Nobody thought that. I'm talking about the power of God and what it's able to do. Remember when we get disgusted. Yes, we have to have discipline. Yes, kids have to behave and do right. But we still never know. I stood up in the back of the bus one Sunday morning, threw a penny. I don't need you to help me all the time. I threw a penny from the back seat of the bus right over the driver's head and cracked the windshield right in front of his face. He liked to run off the road and killed us all.
Amen.
I wish we could do now what they did then.
Yeah.
A deacon took me in the church, the bus ministry office, bent me over a bus seat that was sitting in the church office, got a paddle made out of plywood, and wore my hind section out.
Amen.
Well, wouldn't that be a blessing?
Yeah. Amen.
I'm serious. It would. It'd be a blessing. We just tear them little rear ends up.
Yeah.
Some of them would be in a state of shock.
Yeah.
They'd probably come back and thank us for it.
Yeah.
But we can't do that.
Amen.
I wish we could. Times have changed. We used to have a man named Doug Baxter that walked around in children's church. He had a stick long enough that he could reach anybody in any pew. He measured it. I mean, this man went to great effort. He went to the woods and cut a limb and measured it to reach exactly to the middle of every pew. That way, it didn't matter how far in the pew they was. He could pop them on the head. If you was cutting up during the preaching, he'd whack you in the head with that stick. I'm telling the truth, ain't I?
Amen.
We can't do that anymore. I'm putting ideas in y'all's head.
Amen.
We can't do that anymore. But listen carefully. We can still go get them.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We may have to set them off the bus when they do something real bad. Give them a little probation time or whatever. I don't know. But we don't ever know.
Amen.
We don't ever know who we're reaching. I believe we're in the last days.
Amen.
I believe the Lord's coming.
Yes.
I believe there may be one great revival charge before this thing's said and done.
Yeah.
He could use one of them youngins to do it.
Yes. Amen.
He could use one of those parents. Who would have ever thought? Who would have ever thought Barbara Baker and I believe Linda? I believe it was Linda. Where's she at? Nurser. She's a nurser. She's at home. Brother Dennis is wife. Linda and Barbara pestered this man. His kids wrote our church. They pestered him and pestered him and pestered him and pestered him. Till one day he said, if it'll shut y'all up, I'll come visit that church. Mom and daddy came that one Sunday morning. Next Sunday they came, I believe it was the next Sunday, and they got saved.
Amen.
And that was Brother James Bailey and his wife.
Yes,
one of the greatest soul winners I've ever known.
Right.
You ain't got a clue.
That's right. Amen.
You ain't got a clue. Be careful when you look at kids and go, oh, God's going to do something great with that. That may not be the one.
Yes.
It may be the one you have to stand on in the aisle of the bus all the way to church.
Yeah,
maybe the one that you swear he's got seven demons in him.
Yeah.
Amen,
preacher.
Amen. Yes, sir. Remember these things as we go out. Remember the power of God knows no insurmountable obstacles. There's nothing he can't overcome. He can overcome the living situation of these children's parents. He can. He can overcome that stuff. Remember, the vision of God knows no undiscovered secrets. He knows everything.
Yeah.
He ain't got to point it all out. He knows. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, the provision of God knows no human limitations. And the love of God knows no racial barriers as we go out and seek people.
Amen.
I believe God's going to use this.
Amen.
I believe God's going to use this to spark life in our church. Which it's already got life. We're not dead by any means. But we could use a spark.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad we're doing this before revival comes in April. We may just have a great revival.
Yes.
I'm with Brother Allen. I would like to see his burden fulfilled.
Yeah.
Brother Allen would like it to be where it's not church kids and bus kids. And it's that way. I believe they can be brought together.
Amen.
You say, I don't want my kids in church with them kids. You might ought to pray about that.
Amen.
Maybe you ought to pray about that.
Amen.
Maybe it's your kid to be an example to them.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm not telling you to let them go home and spend a night with them.
Right.
Amen. Those kids don't know how to act in church because nobody's ever showed them.
Amen.
They see your children sitting there and turning to the scriptures in their Bible, it'll make them want to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
They see your kids going to the altar and praying and make them want to do it.
Yes, sir.
They hear your boys saying amen to Brother Allen when he's preaching. Y'all with me?
Yeah,
amen. What a blessing. Let's stand to our feet tonight.
That's good,
Miss Janice, could y'all come? Maybe you and Elizabeth and...